Well, are you ready for the eclipse tomorrow? Is your gas tank full of gas? Are your shelves full of food items? You laugh, but that's some of the things that Jerry has been reading online that people are talking about. You need to make sure you have everything all stocked up for all the shortages that are going to occur because of the eclipse. Reminds me of Y2K. Anyway, I sense the effects of it. I told my wife yesterday, she got a big charge out of this. Why we do this, I don't know, but it started back 2017, 18, somewhere back in there. We got the bright idea that we ought to get on the bathroom scale every Saturday morning and see how we are doing. Did we lose weight, gain weight this week? And we keep records of it. And, well, you got to be able to have a record so you know how you did last week or 2 weeks ago, right? Right. Well, I got on the scale yesterday and I was pleasantly surprised to discover that I had gained 3 pounds in a week's time being sick and everything. I ate well, but I told her, I said, I know what it is. It's the gravitational pull because of this eclipse coming up. That is making that scale pull down heavier because of the forces lining up. So anyway, I'm sure next Saturday when it's long gone, I'll be much happier than I was last week. Anyway, what a thing to do to yourself. You know, Saturday is a day to kind of look forward to waking up, but why did we pick Saturday to get on the scale? I don't know. I don't know. But tonight we want to continue with something we do know, all foolishness aside. And I want us to continue on. Today is number 10, if you have kept track of how many of these messages we have given. I'm honestly not sure how many more that we're going to do if we continue the series tonight. I had originally started out with a list of things, went through concordance and picked out a number of things. There are still some more things, but are we going to go any more after tonight? I'm not sure. I don't know that. But tonight we do know. And Andrew, why don't we call this one Without a Doubt? Without a Doubt. And our text is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. And let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts, shall we? We thank you, Father, that we can be here tonight, and we thank you for these who made the choice to come. We pray that you would bless our time together. Get the glory in what is spoken. We thank you that we can look forward to remembering through the elements on the table, Lord, what you did in our behalf to provide salvation and forgiveness and everlasting life for us. Be glorified in all that's said and done. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, let's notice in this text that you have before you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. Let's just look at it, read it first. For you note takers, this first point is going to be called our certain confidence. Our certain confidence. Let's begin. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with our Lord. As we think of this passage and what is Paul talking about here, some of this gets kind of a little bit up in the clouds, and what's he making reference to? What is this, if this tabernacle, this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he said, in this tabernacle of our earthly house, we groan. Put it on pause for a minute. Brian, are we groaning in this earthly tabernacle of this house, your lower back? What about you, Dick? Do you groan in this earthly tabernacle? Can anybody relate to the aches and the pains? Sure we can. Put your hands down, young'uns. You don't know anything about aches and pains yet. Brother, they just want to grow up anyway. You know, there are some, I didn't really realize this until I started doing our study in preparation for this, but there are some that approach this passage that Paul wrote here, and he talks about they say that what Paul is referring to is some kind of a temporary body that is possessed in the third heaven during the intermediate state from the time we die and the time that the Lord raptures us, that somewhere out there, there is this intermediate body, yes or no? I don't know, you're saying, huh? We know that is not true because that would not be an eternal body. There is no such thing as an intermediate body that we possess from the time we croak until the Lord calls us and then we have our new resurrected body. It is a reference to the resurrection body that we will have eternally. As we think of this, how do we know? I mean, it talks about we have, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, or we have a building of God, house made with hands eternal, so on. In John chapter 2, verse 19, early in our Lord's ministry, John recorded a conversation which took place in verses 19 through 21 of John chapter 2. This was the occasion in John chapter 2 when the Lord made a small whip out of some cords and he drove out all of the money changers out of the temple. And he said, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." They were making profit off of the sale of sacrificial animals right there in the temple. And the Lord drove them out and said, "This is not what you do in my Father's house." And the disciples remembered that it was written in Psalm 69:9, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." That's a quote from that psalm. Here we go. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign do you show us, seeing that you're doing these things?" And here was Jesus' answer. He said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Then said the Jews, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to tear it down and build it up again in 3 days?" But notice what verse 21 says. The temple that he was talking about being destroyed was not the bricks and stone. What was the temple, verse 21? He spoke of the temple of his body. Now we go back. We know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if something would happen to our bodies, and it will, it's appointed unto us what? Once to die. Unless we're alive when the Lord comes for his church, every one of us are going to die. You say, "Thank you, Pastor, for the words of encouragement." That is just plain fact. We know it. We know it. And he says, if this body, this old body of ours, something happened to it, this isn't the end. God has something waiting for us in that is eternal in the heavens. And he says, in this body we groan, we look forward to it. And he said, not so much that we necessarily want to die, but that mortality might be swallowed up by what? Immortality, by life. It will be better when the aches and pains are gone. Yes or no? Yes. And he talks about how that, verse 5, "He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." What is the confidence? What is the thing that we are talking about this evening? That we know with certain confidence that we have. We have the assurance that we're going to have an eternal body. We have the body that God is preparing for us. How do we know? How can I count on? How can I be sure that I'm going to have everlasting life in a body that's going to last eternally? I love what's there in verse 5. We have what?
The Spirit.
We have, what does it say? We have the,
earnest.
What is an earnest? It's the down payment. The moment you begin, well, I'm not so sure if we're going to have, a resurrection body or not. Paul says, don't entertain that thought. We know we're going to have that resurrection body because he has already put a down payment on it. We're all familiar with down payments, aren't we? What is that? The down payment is the promise of what? The rest of the payment's coming. He's already started, and he's given us the assurance by giving us his Holy Spirit who lives within us. Well, let's look at some. We've seen the certain confidence that we're going to have a resurrection body that's going to last forever, and it won't have aches and pains. But let's see number two, some supporting truth. In their body, in a body, they wrote of it. Can you think of one? Job 19, 26 and 27. We talk about the blessed hope that is ours as a believer, this side of glory, this side of the cross. What did I do? I didn't turn it back on after I cleared my throat, did I? Thank you, Andrew. I got the signal. That's the signal I got. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. It's hard to pick up on the CD if I don't have the microphone on. But Job, the man who was acquainted with aches and pains, yes or no? A man who suffered much from this old earthly house of this tabernacle, man. But you know, he was not despairing. He was not throwing up his hands and saying, what have I got to look forward to? Job exclaimed it in chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. He said, I'm sorry. Let's do 25, 26, and 27. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though, here you go, here's death. After my skin worms destroy this body, he knew what happened to a body when you put it in the ground. It deteriorates. Eventually, you have nothing but bones. All the flesh just rots away. And he said, after I'm dead, gone, there's nothing left of me. What's he say? Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He knew that once he died, that was not the end as a believer. We say amen, right? That's not the end for us. What we read here, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, we're confident, willing rather to be absent from the body, because what? We're present with the Lord in spirit. Look at Psalm chapter 17, verse 15. Psalm 17, 15. I wasn't aware of this verse until just recently, and even studying and prepare, even though I read the Psalms all the time. Isn't it something that you can read them all the time and you can see something that I never noticed that before? You know why? It's because God's word is alive. It's alive. Verse 15 of Psalm 17. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. Isn't that a great verse? I'm going to behold your face, and I'm going to see you face to face. That was what Job was uttering. After this old body is dead and gone, I'll see him for myself. And the psalmist says that same thing here. I'll behold your face in righteousness, and I'm going to be satisfied. There's not going to be anything lacking. There's not going to be any disappointments. Don't let anybody tell you that, you know, you Christians, you've got your hopes up so high, but it's not going to be nearly what you think it is. I'll tell you what it's going to be. Paul said, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart or the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." You know what that means? We don't have a clue. We cannot comprehend what's before us and what it's truly going to be like. And he says, I'll be satisfied when I awake, come back to life, with your likeness. So we see supporting truth from the Old Testament, A, but B, we also find it from the New Testament. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. Our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven. That's really where our life is as a believer. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall what? He's going to change our vile body. He called it here in our text, this is an earthly house of this tabernacle. Here he says it's a vile body. He is going to change it that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Run that phrase back by you again. What is coming for you and me as a believer when we think about getting a new body? What is coming? Not just a body that's going to live forever, that won't get sick, won't die, won't be injured, this, that, and the other thing. But the key thing in my mind as I think about what is coming for me as a believer, and I trust for you as a believer, is Paul's description of this body when he tells us this body is going to be what? It is going to be fashioned a certain way. How is it going to be fashioned? Pardon?
Like Jesus.
Just, it says, it's going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able. So don't have any doubt, any questions. I don't know whether God can do that for every person that's ever lived and have put their faith and trust in him. Oh, yes, he can. Wherefore, he is even able to subdue all things unto himself. In conjunction with this verse, right alongside note takers, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. That's the thing that really struck me as I was working on this for tonight. In Philippians, our body's going to be fashioned just like his, just like the Lord's resurrection body. John wrote of it. We're going to be like him. We'll see him just as he is in that resurrection body, and we're going to have one just like it. Does that do anything for you? I trust. We see some more New Testament references. Notice to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. We pick up at verse 42. And Paul talks some more about what's happening as far as truth in the scriptures to support the fact that we're actually going to have a body, and it's going to be an eternal body in the future. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. There will be a generation alive when the Lord comes to rapture his church. But never fear. Never fear thinking that, well, he's just talked about how that, you know, you got to die. This old body has to die before you get this spiritual body, before all the changes can take place. No, he says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? We're all going to be changed. Whether we enter into glory through the valley of the shadow of death, or whether we're alive and kicking when the trumpet sounds and the Lord calls us home, we all will be changed. We all will get that body. And what do we know about that body from Philippians and 1 John? It's a body that's going to be like what? It's going to be like the Lord's body. That's good news. We move on. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Why? This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. These old natural bodies are not fit to enter into the eternal state. And just like he talked about earlier, in the 15th chapter, back in the 30s, he talked about how, thou fool, you know, some are going to say, how are the dead raised up and what kind of body are they going to come with? He says, you fool, even when you plant a seed, it's changed. You go out there and you plant that seed and you start looking in the garden. You're not looking for seeds popping up out of the ground, are you? You're looking for what? New life. New life. And that's what's going to happen here. Let's go on. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's going to happen, beloved. Never fear. Without a doubt, we're going to have a resurrection body that he is preparing for us. And the familiar passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see Paul wrote there in verses 16 through 18, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When this happens, guess what? We will have just received our new bodies that he has prepared for us. And he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, we've seen a certain confidence. Paul spoke of it there in 2 Corinthians 5, our text passage. We've looked at supporting truth from both the Old and the New Testament. Followers of the Lord have always had that assurance of a future and a body in the future in the presence of the Lord. But what I want us to consider, number three, note takers, truth to consider. Go back, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians 3, 21. Truth to consider, our third and final point here. Paul says he's going to change our vile bodies that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I want to take that phrase right there. He's going to change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And here's my question for us to consider. How literal can we as believers take that statement that it's going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body? How literal can that be? What does that mean? What do we know about the resurrection body of the Lord? Turn with me, if you would, to, we're going to get there in a moment. Luke 24. Let's just go right to it. Luke 24. What do we know about the resurrection body? And the truth that we are claiming tonight is Scripture says we're going to get a body just like his. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? As we think about the Luke 24, let our eyes drop down to verse 36. This is the night of the resurrection Sunday, and already there had been witnesses of the Lord raised from the dead. You just saw here, notice verse 34, the Lord has, verse 33, the two on the road to Emmaus, which we looked at last week, they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and that were gathered together and those that were with them saying, and here's what they heard, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Peter's seen him. And they told what things were done in the way. They, here is the two that were on the road, and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Now we pick up. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." What is the point here? In Jesus' resurrection body, he suddenly appeared out of nowhere in plain sight of his disciples. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, these old vile bodies are going to be changed, and we're going to be receiving a body made like unto his glorious body. Does that mean this new body that we're going to have eternally, we're going to have that same capacity that the Lord had to be able to just suddenly appear somewhere? I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know about that. But that's one of the features of the Lord's resurrected body. He could appear seemingly out of nowhere. Just suddenly, there he was. Will we have that capacity? It remains to be seen. So that's number one here on truth to consider regarding his resurrected body. Number two, it was an actual, visible body. It was an actual, visible body that they could see. How do you know they could see him? Continue on. "They were terrified and affrighted and supposed they were seeing a what? A spirit, i.e. ghost." He had a body that could be visibly seen. It wasn't just some imagination, just something in someone's thought. No, in that upper room, or in that room where these were gathered that night, when he suddenly out of nowhere appeared, they saw him, and it scared the daylights out of them. I look at some other places in Scripture, and it makes reference to the fact that our Lord was, his resurrected body was visible. People could see him. I make reference to 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. Listen. "And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen to sleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also," Paul wrote, "as one born out of due time." In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we read this. It tells us, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." What do we know about the body of our Lord and the resurrection body? We know that he had the capacity to suddenly appear. We know that his body was a literal, visible body that people could see. And you and I are going to have that kind of a body. It's going to be a body. Paul said, just like the Lord's. In that same instance, back in Luke chapter 24, first, when it says they were terrified, they thought they were seeing a spirit. He said, why are you troubled and why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Notice, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. What do we know about the Lord's resurrected body? We know that they could see his hands and his feet. What's so special about that? Nick's song this morning. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. You know, when we get the glory, the Lord is still going to have those nail prints there for you and me to see. This is his resurrected body. And he showed it to his disciples. He said, men, look at my hands. Look at my feet where they drove the nails. Handle me. Touch me. You can't touch a ghost. But come here. Put your hands on me. We're going to have a literal body that can be seen and can be touched. Then it says, when he had spoken, showed his hands and feet, they still didn't believe in verse 41. And so he says, you guys have anything to eat? Do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Sounds good, doesn't it, Tim? And a honeycomb. And he took it and did what? He did what with it? What's that tell us about the Lord's resurrected body? And we're going to have a body made like unto his body, Philippians chapter 3. He ate food before them. You say, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure. I think you're stretching it on that one. Well, I would too, except, you know, I discovered in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, when we get home to glory, do you know it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, one of the things that we're going to do in heaven? We're going to eat. In the Old Testament, we find the Psalms refers to what was it that kept the Israelites alive for 40 years? They had to go pick it up every morning. But you know what it's also referred to as? Angels' food. They ate angels' food for 40 years. Angels evidently eat in heaven. We're going to be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. One other thing that we mention here, and with this we close. They conversed with him. He talked with them. We saw that especially in Acts chapter 1, when it says that he was seen of them for 40 days, and he spoke to them of things concerning the kingdom of God. They talk back and forth. Well, we've kind of got a lot to look forward to, don't we? As we think of these bodies that we're going to have, that are made like unto his glorious body. As I said, how literal can we take this? I'm not sure. But we've seen some descriptions of what was our Lord's resurrected body like. Those 40 days that he was here on earth after his resurrection. They saw him, they touched him, they conversed with him, they sat down and ate with him, and we're going to have a body just like that. Praise the Lord that he has made all of this possible for us through his death and his burial and his resurrection. And tonight, we're going to close by remembering what he has done for us through his body, through his blood, and what is coming because of it. Let's close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask the men that are going to be assisting me to just make their way up just as soon as we're done. We're not going to sing a song. We're past the 6 o'clock hour here. Thank you, Father, for the time that we have been able to spend considering something that we can speak of with certainty. Scripture teaches, Old and New Testament, that you're going to have bodies prepared for us, eternal bodies. We can't wait. I pray that you would bless the truths that we've looked at this evening to our hearts. As we ponder, as we think these things over, may it be a blessed assurance to us. We look forward now to celebrating what made it all possible, Lord, through your death, burial, and resurrection. And we are going to be receiving these elements in remembrance of you. In your name we pray, amen.